Hey everybody, welcome to our weekly teaching podcast. Whether you're listening on your commute to work or sitting in your lazy boy with a cup of coffee, I'm thankful that you're setting aside some time this week to join us. And without further ado, let's jump into God's Word.
This morning we have the pleasure of having Todd Lester here to share God's Word with us. Todd comes from Waterloo. He works with the BIC. His official title is Director of Ministry Development and Executive Director of Global for the BIC. We like to call him the Most Honorable Reverend Todd Lester, as he spits out his water. Anyways, will you welcome Todd this morning?
Thanks, Andy. Good morning. It's great to be here, and thanks for inviting me to be your guest today. My wife, Kim, she's at the back. She's here with me today. And she's Associate Executive Director of the Mennonite Central Committee in Kitchener. We live in Waterloo. And some of you, you may be connected to MCC and give money. You may occasionally get letters from her or communication from her. My kids, I have two daughters. We have two daughters. One is just about done her nursing degree from McMaster, and the other graduated from University of Waterloo and now is at University of Ottawa in the law school there. So they're both in school. So I'm at that stage of life where you have no money and your kids are just taking every cent you make. I love being here because I was born in Shallow Lake. Usually when I say that, people go, well, where's that? But I can say that here and you know what I'm talking about. Second Street in Shallow Lake, Second Avenue in Shallow Lake. I really love what you're doing with the expansion of your facilities. This is really an awesome project. And one of the last things I did as a pastor is we did a fairly large building expansion at the church where I pastored. And I love giving to projects like that. I love giving to capital projects. I don't know if you think like me, but I tend to be strategic in my thinking. And when I can give to a capital project like this, I can give to a building that will be here for at least 100 years, maybe more. And I love the fact that there where I pastor in Kitchener, a bunch of us work together and put a facility there that will be there long after we're gone. We'll serve that church. Kim and I, we go to a church that meets in a movie theater. It's really hard to build a faith community in a movie theater, to be honest with you. And we really miss the benefits that come from having a church facility. We can gather in fellowship. I really commend you for what you're doing here. I haven't talked to Kim, but maybe we'll give a little money to it. Like, I love giving to those kinds of things. One time I was channel surfing, and I saw something on television I could hardly believe. It was grown men wearing diapers and sucking on soothers. They call themselves adult babies. Psychologists call it paraphilic infantilism. These adults wear diapers and rubber pants and have another adult act as a mother figure to them. I mean, it's a fetish. You don't know what that word means, ask your parents. When you see that, you know something is wrong. It's unnatural for people who should be mature to act like infants. It reminds me of that saying, growing old is mandatory, growing up is optional. People say wisdom comes with age. I say sometimes age comes alone. But God's will for every one of us is that we would grow up. In fact, His will is that we'd grow up in every way. Spiritually, of course. Emotionally. Mentally. In every way. And the Bible is very clear about this. I wanted to read a little section of a verse from the New Testament. I just want you to think about this as I go through this passage in Numbers 20 this morning. It says in Ephesians 4:15, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Just remember that. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. I mean, I'm so glad to hear that you're reading through the Bible. That's just a terrific experience. I would say, you know, keep at it. Keep at it. But I remind you that the goal, the purpose, the reason is to grow in every way more and more like Christ. In the BIC denomination, this church is part of the Be in Christ Church of Canada, we describe ourselves as Jesus-centered. So the Bible is very important to us. It's very important. But the point of the Bible is not the Bible. Do you know that? The point of the Bible is Jesus. So in this year of reading through the Bible, I pray that you are growing in every way more and more like Christ. As a pastor for 30 years, many times people would come to me and tell me that they had stopped growing spiritually. They would confess that, admit that to me. They would say something like their spiritual growth had stalled. They would admit that they were stuck spiritually, that they were not growing. I think we all know people like that. We all know people, it's very clear that they have stopped developing, they have stopped maturing, they've stopped growing as a person. We all know people like that. So it has caused me to often wonder, what is it that stops people from growing? Today I want to point out some lessons from one of the passages that you read this past week in Numbers 20. Because in this story I see some hints from the life of Moses that something was not quite right. So as we read this and look at the lessons, maybe some of you can relate to Moses this morning. And I noticed from the story some things that stop people from growing. In Numbers 20, we see some evidence that Moses and the people he was leading they'd stopped and stalled in their spiritual lives. The first thing I simply want to say is this: you stop growing when you become complacent. You stop growing when you become complacent. This is a very common reason that people stop growing. So what's happening here in Numbers 20 is that the people have been wandering through the desert for a long time. And they're on their quest to reach to the promised land. And they came to a place where there's no water. I mean, we take for granted in Canada that we have easy access to very clean drinking water at all times. But in the Middle East, that's not the case. In fact, Kim and I, last month, we were in Israel, and they talked quite a bit about the problems they have with water access. It's a big problem. Last summer, we were in Jordan. The number one problem in the country of Jordan, Kim and I found out, is just a lack of fresh water. People have to ration water. They get enough water to fill a tank and then has to last them for a week. It's not very much. So the availability of water, that's a major problem in the Middle East. So we read this in Numbers 20, verses 3 and 4. It says, "The people blamed Moses and said, 'If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into this wilderness to die, along with all our livestock?'" Now, I get a real kick out of this verse. They're saying, "I miss the good old days in Egypt." What's the good old days? 400 years of slavery. Why would anyone want to go back to Egypt? Because it was familiar. Complacency is when we hold on to the familiar and we avoid the risk of the unknown. So a lot of people get stuck in complacency. They get stuck, they're stuck in a condition where they choose the safety of slavery over the risk of something better, but something unknown. So often God requires us to let go of one thing, the old thing, the familiar thing, so he can take us to the new thing. But we don't want to let go of the old because it's comfortable. I know what it's like in Egypt. It's familiar to me. Some of you are doing that. I know it's a bad situation, but at least it's predictable. It might be a relationship or a habit, and you know it's self-defeating. You know it's not the best, but it's comfortable. It's the safety of slavery. It's complacency. There's no real growth without taking some risks. Complacency and growth, they're the opposite ends of the continuum. You're either moving towards growth or you're moving away from it in complacency. When you get complacent in your home, your children suffer for it. When you get complacent at your business suffers for it. When you get complacent in your ministry, the people in your ministry suffer for it. Other people are impacted by it. Always remember, whenever you're coasting, you're always going downhill. So what's the solution? The solution to becoming complacent is never stop taking risks of faith. Push the edge of the envelope, as they say in Top Gun. Attempt something that cannot be explained in your own ability. That's when you grow. What am I going to try to do in 2020 that I know I'm bound to fail unless God's part of it? If you're not attempting an idea, an event, then unless God's part of it, and you're bound to fail, you're just not living by faith, you're not growing. God's saying to you this morning, go for it. Let go of the familiar, the safe slavery. Take a risk of faith, because then you grow. Complacency is the opposite of growth. You're going to, in a few weeks, read through 2 Chronicles, the story of the kings. Let me read a verse from 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. It says this, Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. I mean, what a thing to be said about a person. It's not saying he's a bad king or an evil king. It says that about some of the kings. Some of the kings are says, that guy's a scumbag. It just says he was not wholehearted. That's another way to say he'd become complacent. Not evil, just complacent. I think that's a risk for all of us. It's one of the most subtle traps for people who have been Christians for a long time. You start to go through the motions. You serve the Lord, but not with your whole heart. You're not fully engaged. You know you should do it. You've been doing it for a long time. But you're not doing it wholeheartedly. You become complacent. You would think as you think about the people in Numbers 20, you think, man, they should be full of faith. I mean, they have, some of them have witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, or their parents have told them the story. Some of them have seen water come from a rock. They've seen these incredible miracles of provision. You think they'd be full of confidence and faith. You can become so familiar with spiritual matters, you just get used to it. You become complacent to it. You know, you're around, you're so accustomed to God working things out in your life that nothing seems like a miracle anymore. You can hear so many answered prayers. You can see so many lives change. You can forget the most people. They don't live this way. Most people don't have the hope you have. Most people don't have the joy you have. Lots of people are just barely making it in life. You forget it's not normal for people to know what you know, to feel what you feel. Most people live with very little hope. But if you become complacent, if you lose your spiritual passion, become half-hearted, you're going to stop growing spiritually. Number two, you stop growing when you stop changing. See, by far the single greatest reason the person stops growing is that the person stops changing. They stop learning, and they stop developing, and they stop changing, and they stop growing. We all need to be learners because there's no growth without change, and there's no change without being flexible. When you stop growing and changing, you become inflexible. There are three times in Moses' life when he has a water problem. There's a story in Exodus 14, the parting of the sea. He's got the problem there, he's got too much water. Then you read a little bit further, you've read these already. In Exodus 15, there's what happens at Marah, which the water is bitter. Then there's this third problem when they're out in the desert and there is no water. In fact, there's this first time where they run, they find there's no water. And so what God says to Moses in that situation, he says, Moses, to provide water for the people, I want you to strike the rock and water will pour out from the rock. And that's what Moses did and that's what happened. But later on, they come to this other place in the wilderness. And again, they need water and God says, okay, but Moses, this time we're going to do it differently. So let's read in Numbers 20, verses 8 and 11. It says, you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. And as the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. That's a lot of water. Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out, so the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. So do you notice what happens here? Did Moses do what God had told him to do? No, he didn't actually. Because God said, this time, I want you to speak to the rock. Last time you hit the rock, but this time I want you to speak to the rock. What does Moses do? He says, Lord, I want to do it the way we did it last time. I know that way works. He's thinking, what if I speak to the rock and the water comes out? I'll look like a fool. So rather than do what God told him to do and speak to the rock, Moses did what he did before, what he knows works, and he strikes the rock. God in his grace provides the water. I don't know if you've ever felt like this way. You simply want to repeat the past. To keep on doing the same things, the same way, expecting the same results. There are many times when I've said to myself, boy, I wish pastoring what was like it used to be 30 years ago when I started. It was so much easier. It was so much simpler. I wouldn't want to go back to the pay, but I'd like to go back to the good old things. Gary Hamel said, the longer you're in the trenches, the easier it is to mistake the edge of your rut for the horizon. Bruce Barton said, when you're through changing, you're through. I mean, change doesn't come easy, but it has to come if you want to grow as a believer and as a person. The fact is, our world is changing. 2020 is not going to be like 2019. Not only is the world changing, but the rate of pace of change is increasing rapidly, greater and greater. And the attitudes and skills that brought you to this point in your life are not going to take you to the future. What got you here won't get you there. A while ago, I attended this really great conference. I could summarize the conference in these five words. New problems require new solutions. New situations require new attitudes. New difficulties and new opportunities require new skills and new attitudes. The point of simply making is this: whenever you find yourself resisting a new way of doing something, or defending the status quo, or opposing a change, or striving simply to repeat the past because it worked last year, watch out. You're about to get in a rut, and a rut is dangerous. Will Rogers said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. What's the key to overcoming this trap. The solution is never stop learning, never stop developing, never stop developing your skills, your character, your vision, your heart, your dependence on God. Never stop developing. Read the Bible. Read books. Listen to audiobooks. Go to seminars and conferences. Never stop developing. Never stop changing. Never stop learning. Proverbs 19, verse 8, it says, to acquire wisdom is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. Never think you've learned it all. The moment you think you've learned it all about your job, about parenting, about your ministry, about your marriage, you're dead in the water. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10 says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. The Bible is saying that skill brings success. You may be dedicated, but sometimes that's not enough. You can't use a combine in a strawberry patch. You can't use a corn harvester in an apple orchard. Your skills need to match your challenge. So when you come to church every Sunday, you're doing exactly what this verse is saying. You're sharpening your axe, and you're never wasting your time when you're sharpening your axe. If you ever stop changing and learning, you soon experience what's called the Peter Principle. Do you know what the Peter Principle is? That means that people tend to rise to the level of incompetence, and then they get stuck there. It's like a guy who works at a store, and he's a very good shoe salesman. In fact, he could be the best shoe salesman in that store, maybe even in the whole chain of stores. And what do they do with a very good shoe salesman? They make him the manager of the shoe store. But if he never learns the principles and skills of management, what happens? He becomes a very poor manager, and he gets stuck there for the rest of his life. Because he stopped developing. That's the Peter Principle. So if you want to continue to grow with God, you can never stop changing, never stop learning, never stop developing your skills. Once you think you've learned it all, you're dead in the water. Why don't we want to change? Well, the root behind resistance to change is fear. I don't want to change because I'm afraid of loss. I've done it this way, and it works. So what am I going to lose if I do my marriage in a new way? What am I going to lose in my business if I do it in a new way? The root of this resistance is fear. In fact, that leads me to this next point. The third thing I want to say this morning is you stop growing when you stop trusting. You stop growing when you stop trusting. So as you read this passage, you see the reason Moses was not willing to change. God tells us what had happened here, what their mistake was, their sin. He says in Numbers 20, verse 12, it says, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. Notice it says you will not lead them. Friends, it's a bit harsh, I have to say. It doesn't feel very New Testament, I admit. But at least in the context here, God says there's a cost to your inflexibility. Because inflexibility leads to disobedience. So he lost the right to lead the people into the promised land because he refused to change. This dream that he had for 40 years. 40 years of wandering around. And God says, you failed the final exam. Because you were inflexible, unwilling to change, and resulted in disobedience. I don't want to get left out on what God is doing. I want to be in on what God is doing. So I don't want to become complacent. And I don't want to resist change. I want to be open to change. And I want to trust God and be flexible. Why is Moses so unwilling to change his method? It's a lack of trust. God says, Moses, you didn't trust me. You didn't have enough faith to trust me to provide for you. Moses, if I speak to the rock and the water doesn't come out, people are going to say, what a fool. Doesn't he know you got to hit the rock? I remember one of my close friends one time said to me, he said, you know, the one thing I'm most afraid of is to look foolish for God. You ever feel like that? It requires faith to change. When we're resisting the change, sometimes it's just a lack of faith. I don't really think God's going to take care of me in the future. I better hold on to the security, this way that I've always done it. When you stop trusting God, you're unwilling to step out in faith, you're going to stop growing as a believer. Number four, you stop growing when you stop caring. Notice how Moses addresses the people before he gives them the water to drink. I think he's frustrated. I think we're seeing a little peek in the Moses' spiritual condition here. He's frustrated, and he lets them know it. He says in verse 10 of Numbers 20, then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. And this is what he says. He says, listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water from this rock? I have to admit, I relate to this. Pastoring a church is not easy. There's some Sunday mornings I want to say, listen, you rebels, must I bring you another sermon? Just stop doing the sin stuff and just do what God says and we can skip all this. The problem wasn't the people, it was me. It was always a tip off that something wasn't right here. Because when I stop caring, I stop growing. When frustration replaces love, people become bothersome to you. When people are bothersome to you, like, watch out. I think you've stopped growing. You can think of Moses and you can contrast that with David. David was one of the great kings, and he experienced so many victories. And a guy like David could have sat back and relished his accomplishments and said, hey, let's just have everybody serve me. I'm such a great king. Look at all that I've done. Sit back and just take it easy. But you know what David does? He does something quite different. Again, you're going to read this in a few weeks. In 2 Samuel 9, it says, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there's this great story in 2 Samuel 9. When you get there in your reading, just pay attention. Because there's a story of how David took this boy, Mephibosheth. I wouldn't want that name. Don't give that name to your kids. Mephibosheth. And he was a cripple. And he brings him into the palace. And he says to Mephibosheth, for the rest of your life, you're going to live in the palace with me. You're going to dine and live in the palace. That's the kindness of King David. What a difference between him and what we see here with Moses. I want to have one more point, and this actually comes not from the text, but from something Jesus said, because I think Jesus talked to the same thing. Point number five is simply this: you stop growing when you get distracted. In fact, I think this might be one of the most common problems in modern living. I think one of the biggest problems people have today is a lack of focus. That's because we live in this multiple choice world, and as a result, people are all over the place. There are a lot of things that can distract you in the Christian life. They're good, but they're not the best. Personal problems can distract you. Health can distract you. Finances can distract you. Recreation can distract you. Materialism can distract you. Things that you think are fun and good and wonderful, but they can distract you and are stopping you from growing. Sometimes, I don't know if Satan cares if you go off and sin, just as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. So he will distract you. One day Jesus was walking down the street and he looked at these three guys, these three would-be followers, and he said to them, come and follow me. He says, you guys, you come and follow me. You know one guy, what he said, I can't follow you, Lord. I've just bought a piece of land. What's the logic of that? That land's going to be there when you get back, buddy. It's not going anywhere. The next guy says, you know, he says, I just got married. So he's got a better reason. The third guy says, I got to go and bury my father. It's a first century euphemism. In other words, you know, I've got to go back and take care of my family. The point is, a business, marriage, family can all be distractions. You need to be aware that sometimes they're keeping you from what God wants you to do. Now, I'm a firm believer in family, so please don't say I don't believe in the family. I believe in the family. I believe in marriage. But the Bible does not say, upon this rock I will build my family. Jesus did not say, go into the world and build a family. I believe in the family. But you need to keep it in perspective. You know, don't leave this morning saying, Todd said, put the church before family. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's not the sum total of your life. Jesus said again, he says in Matthew 6, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. The kingdom of God is what we're to seek first in our lives. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. The problem is it's easy to get distracted, but the solution is to stay focused. How do you stay focused? Jesus says, keep the kingdom of God first. Seek it first. And God says, actually, I didn't put this in, I don't think it's on the screen, but it says, if you do that, I'll take care of the other things. So if you put God first, if you seek the kingdom of God first, God says, you know, your business, your marriage, your family, I'll take care of those things. Who would you want managing your business, you or God? Who would you want managing your family, you or God? I want God. So it says, if you keep first things first, if you keep the main thing, if you seek the kingdom of God above all else, I'll take care of the other things. Jesus also said in Luke 9, he says, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Those are serious words from Jesus. He's saying, stay focused. Don't get distracted. There are a lot of things that you could have in your life. They're not necessarily evil. They're just not necessary. There are a lot of things you could do in your life. They're not necessarily evil. They're just not necessary. Jesus is saying, don't get distracted. The problem is, it's very easy to get distracted. You do this every week, don't you? You come in here, you listen to a fantastic sermon by Pastor Dave. You say, man, I'm going to do that this week. And you leave through those doors. By the time you're to your car, you're distracted. By what? Lunch. What's for lunch? Or where's for lunch? And then before you know it, you go home, you have to take a nap or watch the game, and then suddenly it's Sunday's over and you're off to work on Monday morning, and before you know it, the week's passed by, and you come in here the next Sunday, and Pastor Dave says, did you do it? And you go, no, I got distracted. You do this at work, too. You ever go to work thinking, I got to do this. I know it's important. I got to get this done. You arrive at work, and there's stuff on your desk, and there's stuff in your inbox. And 2 hours later, you go, what was that thing I had to do? You know, studies show that most people, the average person, wastes the first hour of every workday distracted. Stuff on their desk, colleagues, email, all this stuff that's less important. How do you maintain your focus in life? You develop the habit of reviewing your life. How do you review your life? You ask yourself the right questions. If you don't get anything else I say today, get this. The quality of your life will be determined by the questions you ask yourself. Plato famously said, the unexamined life is not worth living. So you look at your life and you ask, am I doing what I say is important? I mean, it's easy to forget what's important if you don't review it on a regular basis. here's the thing. You're already doing a very important part of this, reading through a section of the Bible there every day. At the end of each reading, just ask yourself some questions. What does the Bible say is important? Then ask yourself, am I doing what the Bible says is important? Because the quality of your life will be determined by the questions you ask yourself. I commend you for reading through your Bible. I don't know what happened to make a bigger difference in your life than regularly reading the Bible, than sitting quietly before God, and then reflecting and reviewing what you've read. If you do that, I'm confident you will grow in every way more and more like Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your words to us. Your words are so rich in knowledge for us. The story that's tucked away in the Old Testament is not there by accident, but you put it there to teach us timeless lessons of truth. And especially as we've looked at these different things, we've seen these lessons of growth and some of the traps that we all face. Help us to be wise and learn from the experience of this great leader in the faith, Moses. And I just pray for each person here this morning, I pray that they are growing in every way more and more like Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If we mention another sermon or a video in this teaching, then we'll try to have a link to it in the episode notes. If you'd like to watch the video version of this, there's also a link below to our YouTube page. Thanks again for listening. We hope you come back next week for more.